Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Today's text begins with words stating that the Passover will occur in 2 days, which means that Jesus will be crucified and killed as the last Passover lamb on that day. During the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, many Jews gather in Jerusalem. The high priests and scribes decide not to arrest or kill Jesus on this day because they fear an uprising. This shows that they do not fear God, but rather they fear people. However, things do not go as planned, and Jesus fulfills our salvation on the Passover day according to the promises of the Old Testament by dying on the last Passover lamb. As the time for Jesus' crucifixion approaches, we can see the people becoming more divided. In today's text, we see 2 categories of people. Some hate Jesus, forsake him, and try to kill him, as seen in verses 1 and 2 and 10 and 11. Others love Jesus, eat and drink at the same table with him, and even offer precious ointment for him, like the woman who loved Jesus. It is evident that this woman only looks at Jesus and is not afraid of people. To sum up, some people hate Jesus and want to kill him, while others love Jesus and are considered the people of heaven, as seen in verses 3 through 9. This world is divided into 2 distinct categories, God's people and Satan's people. There is no in between. Either you belong to this world or you belong to heaven. You either have eternal heavenly life or you are under eternal death and judgment. It's either you love Jesus or you hate him. Some people may argue that they do not hate Jesus, only that they do not believe in him. But the truth is, if you do not acknowledge Jesus as the God, the Savior, do not acknowledge that you are a sinner deserving of the judgment of hell, reject the grace of salvation given by Jesus, and do not believe in the gospel, then you fall under those who hate Jesus. Moreover, it doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus, if you believe and follow him as an idol of the world, believing and serving him according to your lust to gain worldly benefits. This is a proof that you hate Jesus. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, we see many people who claimed to believe in Jesus and followed him when he performed miracles and provided them with bread. However, they turned away from him when they discovered that he was not the Messiah who could give them worldly benefits. These people abandon Jesus whenever they face trials or difficulties in their lives, or when there was no worldly gain for them. Their belief was false, and it was a form of idolatry that all sinners have. In other words, they did not exist for God's glory, but they believed that God existed for their glory. In today's text, we see people who claim to follow Jesus but held false beliefs. While Jesus was having dinner at Simon the leper's house in Bethany, a woman broke an expensive alabaster jar of nard ointment and poured it on Jesus' head. Some of the onlookers got angry and scolded the woman. These people were not among those who had planned to catch and kill Jesus, as mentioned in verses 1 and 2 of today's text. They were, however, among those who were eating and drinking with Jesus at Simon's house in Bethany. These people did not truly believe in Jesus and were therefore counted among those who hated him and wanted to kill him. One of them, Judas Iscariot, was a representative of this group. This same incident is also mentioned in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, where Mary, Lazarus' sister, poured perfume on Jesus' feet after he raised Lazarus from the dead. At that time, Judas Iscariot also got angry and scolded Mary for wasting the perfume. He represents those who claim to belong to Christ's church, but are actually of this world. In verses 10 and 11 of today's text, we see that Judas eventually goes on to betray Jesus. Judas Iscariot was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, but he betrayed Jesus for his own benefits. He made a deal with those who wanted to kill Jesus. When Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, he cleansed the temple, which had been a den of robbers. He called the temple leaders merchants and scolded them for turning the house of God into a den of thieves. This was also true among Jesus' disciples, as there were a merchant and a false disciple who tried to turn Jesus' church into a den of robbers. Judas Iscariot soon handed Jesus over and received 30 pieces of silver from the Jewish leaders in return, which was the price of a slave at the time. Judas was willing to sell Jesus for the price of a slave. The lives of those who belong to false faith are ultimately similar to Jesus. Although they have joined the visible church on this earth, they are Satan's people who are willing to sell even God for their own benefit. This shows us that people like this are still present in the visible church. However, today's text shows the people of heaven who truly love Jesus, as opposed to people like Judas Iscariot. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. When Jesus comes back to Bethany, Jesus was invited to a feast at the home of Simon, who was previously a leper but had been healed by Jesus. Although Simon was considered cursed, unclean, and alienated from society, Jesus still entered his home and shared a meal and fellowshiped with him. According to the Gospel of John, Lazarus, who Jesus had previously brought back to life after he had been dead for 5 days and his body had begun to decay, was also present at the feast alongside his sisters Martha and Mary. They too prepared a feast for Jesus and all ate and drank together at the same table. This event reveals a blessed reality that is captured in John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which describes the same incident as today's text. John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. At a banquet held in Simon's house in Bethany, Simon, who Jesus had cured from leprosy, and Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead, were seen sitting with Jesus at the same table, eating and drinking. This was a truly amazing sight to witness. Unclean sinners and dead sinners were healed, raised, and called to the fellowship table of Jesus. Do you see the reality of heaven being achieved through the death and resurrection of Jesus? Luke chapter 22, verses 29 and 30. And I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In today's text, we get a preview of the blessed heaven that awaits us. We who were once spiritually sick and dead due to sins and transgressions have been cleansed and brought back to life. As a result, we are invited to the ultimate heavenly banquet held by Jesus, where we will sit around his table and eat and drink with him. By the grace of Jesus, we can experience and enjoy this reality even now through worship and the Lord's Supper. Through the Lord's Supper, we participate in the heavenly banquet provided by Jesus. Those who have been saved, healed, and brought back to life by Jesus are allowed to sit and be in fellowship with him. We get to taste, enjoy, and testify to the blessings of the heavenly fellowship, which sinners in this world cannot experience. Only those whom Jesus has cleansed and brought back to life are called to the table of heavenly fellowship. However, people with false beliefs also participate in the fellowship table on this earth. They are the ones who rebuked the woman who broke the alabaster jar and poured it on Jesus, and their representative is Judas Iscariot. It is essential to remember that even if they participate in the fellowship physically on this earth, they cannot spiritually participate in heavenly fellowship. Instead, they experience the reality of judgment by eating and drinking their sins. The Lord's Supper has the same meaning. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. John chapter 12, verse 3. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with a fragrance of the perfume. In this text, we can see a woman who shared a special bond of love and fellowship with Jesus. She expressed her love for Jesus by breaking an alabaster jar of pure nard and pouring it generously on his head. In the Gospel of John, this woman is identified as Mary, who poured a jar of pure nard on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. Although the Gospel of Mark records the same event, it mentions that the ointment was poured on Jesus' head. This does not indicate any contradiction in the Bible, but only different perspectives of the same event. The name Mary is not mentioned in the Gospel of Mark, but she represents all of the saints. Despite being an insignificant and nameless woman in the world, she holds a special place in heaven as a precious person whom Jesus loved and gave his life for. Nard ointment was a very precious balm extracted from the roots of a plant called nard. In the Book of Songs, this nard is described as a perfume used by a bride for her beloved groom. However, in the story, the woman accidentally breaks the alabaster jar containing the precious ointment. In other words, she gives everything valuable to her. She is expressing her love for her eternal bridegroom by breaking her alabaster jar and pouring out her love generously within it. She is offering the most precious thing she possesses to the Lord, who is most precious to her. This woman is like the widow we saw in Mark chapter 12, who gave all she had in her poverty. They seem so foolish that the world cannot understand them. How did those who were there at that time react to this act of love? Mark chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. "If this ointment were sold, it would be worth more than 300 denarii, which was equivalent to a year's wages for a man at the time, according to Matthew chapter 20, verse 2. In Mark chapter 14, verse 8, Jesus commended a woman who anointed his body with this ointment, saying that she did what she could and that she had done it willingly and joyfully as a way of preparing his body for burial. The woman broke an alabaster jar and poured out the precious ointment without hesitation, which shows her deep love and devotion for Jesus. She was not afraid of what others might think, but only had her eyes fixed on Jesus. She was in heart-to-heart communion with him and happily dedicated herself to the Lord. It is evident from the given text that the woman in question did not believe in Jesus to attain worldly benefits or fame. Instead, she had complete faith in him and was a true citizen of heaven. She received infinite love from Jesus and experienced it firsthand. Consequently, she voluntarily and generously gave herself and all her possessions to Jesus, demonstrating her love for him above everything else. This is the kind of worship that heavenly saints practice. She knows Jesus' love and loves him in return. Her faith is not about exploiting Jesus for personal gain or using him as a means to achieve glory, but about loving him unconditionally and giving him everything, even her life. She bears witness to the love that Jesus bestowed upon her. However, some people present there were displeased with her display of affection towards Jesus and reprimanded her for it. John chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Judas Iscariot represented the non-believers and those who followed Jesus with false beliefs. He did not understand the behavior of a woman who was devoted to Jesus. He thought of her as foolish and was angry at her actions. He even rebuked her. His actions were a slander against those who love Jesus and are willing to give everything for him. He criticized her for not selling her possessions and giving the money to the poor. Did Judas really care about the poor? No, he did not. He said these words because he was a thief and even stole from Jesus. He was more interested in his own worldly gains and used Jesus for his own personal benefit. Judas Iscariot did not love Jesus, nor did he ever experience his love. Judas Iscariot did not want to offer up expensive and precious things to Jesus because he was following Jesus for his own glory. He was a thief who not only stole money, but also the glory of Jesus. This is why he criticized and condemned the woman. Those who do not love Jesus often rebuke, criticize, and condemn those who love Jesus and may even prevent them from serving him. Dear fellow believers, let us examine our motivations for following Jesus. Do we do so for the sake of our own comfort and prosperity in this world? Do we regret dedicating our time, money, and hearts to Jesus? Do we feel reluctant to give up our possessions for the sake of worshiping God and serving His church and people? Do we prefer to invest in worldly pursuits rather than in Jesus, if it means sacrificing our own gain? If something stands in the way of our earthly desires, do we not first discard Jesus? Do we not harbor jealousy, slander, and criticism towards those who diligently follow and love Him? Do we not make excuses and justifications for our lack of faith and devotion? Let us examine ourselves to see if we're like Judas, who claimed to do the right things and be moral, yet did so without truly loving Jesus. Let us not be hypocritical like the Pharisees, who put on a show of righteousness but lacked genuine faith. May we examine our hearts and discern our true motivations for following Jesus. May we do so with pure hearts and true devotion, for anything less is not worthy of Him. Dear Saints, we should not and cannot possess the image of people like Judas Iscariot. Instead, we should have the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been blessed with His infinite love, as He humbly accepted all our sins, sacrificed Himself to save us, and even faced judgment on our behalf. If we have tasted even a little bit of love of Jesus, we can offer ourselves up for Him. Even though we might feel inadequate and not good enough, even if we lose it all, we are satisfied when Jesus is honored, exalted, and glorified. Moreover, when our brothers and sisters love Jesus and give Him glory, we are pleased. We humbly ask God to help us love Jesus even more, and grieve and repent for not being able to love Him fully. This is what the people of heaven are like. Judas, on the other hand, did not have any love for Jesus or faith in the gospel. He simply criticized Mary's actions based on worldly standards. Mark chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Jesus is not saying that helping the poor is wrong. In fact, it is a clear commandment from God that we should help the poor, as stated in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. "For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and the poor in your land." However, it is important to note that helping the poor can be done at any time. It is something that must be done always. Mary's actions, on the other hand, had a very specific meaning in the redemptive history and could only be done at that time. By pouring ointment on Jesus, Mary was preparing Him for His funeral. According to Jewish tradition, when a person dies, their bodies anointed with oil before burial. Mary's actions were a symbolic preparation for Jesus' death and burial. She anointed His head, which would one day wear a crown of thorns to save her, and His feet, which would one day carry His cross for her sins. Jesus was pleased with what Mary was doing because it was an expression of her love and devotion to Him. In today's text, Mark tells us about an incident where a woman pours ointment on Jesus' head. This act of pouring oil on His head was of symbolic significance. In the Old Testament, when a king is established, he is anointed with oil on his head and then sits on the throne. Jesus also receives oil before sitting on the throne as king, which becomes even clearer when we look at the events that follow this incident. In verses 10 and 11, Judas Iscariot goes straight to the high priest to hand over Jesus for money. And eventually, Jesus is captured and goes to the throne of his earth, which in his case is the cross. In other words, Jesus is first anointed with oil to be established as the king who sits on the throne by hanging on the cross. His glory will be revealed as the heavenly king on the cross. Thus, Jesus testified to a woman that what she did was an act of love towards him and a way to reveal his glory. Although the woman may have not been perfect, her love and faith in Jesus were recognized and accepted by him. Jesus said that what she did was good and beautiful, and that it would be remembered when gospel is spread throughout the world. This woman's act was not only out of love for Jesus, but also fulfilled God's will and prepared for Jesus' funeral. Dear beloved saints, today we need to learn from the life of a woman who testified to her true faith through the grace of God. Although her actions were not understood or appreciated by many, she remained steadfast and focused on Jesus. Her heart was full of love and joy for her Savior, which was evident in all her aspects of her life. She was not afraid of criticism or judgment from others because her ultimate goal was to serve Jesus with her whole heart. This is the kind of life that we, as people of heaven, should aspire to live. Sometimes the world may not understand or appreciate what we do for Jesus, but it is through our love and faith in Him that we should continue to serve joyfully. Even if people criticize or get angry with us, we should remain confident that Jesus knows our hearts and accepts our offerings with gladness. Our efforts may seem unworthy, but when we give by faith, Jesus beautifully accepts it. Therefore, we should always focus our eyes on Jesus and strive to live a life that pleases Him. If Jesus is pleased with us, we are content. We don't base our lives on seeking the world's approval and recognition. Even if no one understands, recognizes, or acknowledges what we do, dear believers, Christianity is centered around relationships and fellowship. The woman in today's text is not just expressing her love for personal gratification, but she is testifying to the love of Jesus towards her. This love from Jesus has allowed her to experience and understand it, make her participate in it, testify to it, and share it with others. Similarly, we must first experience the love of Jesus, which is made possible through the gospel of the cross. Then we can also show our love and participate in loving fellowship with Him. Jesus loves us so much that He gave everything He could give, even sacrificing His life and shedding every drop of His blood. He received God's infinite wrath on our behalf and suffered the punishment of fiery hell, saving us and allowing us to live with Him in heaven for eternity. The incident of the woman breaking her alabaster jar and pouring out the ointment affirms the love of Jesus and ultimately His sacrifice on the cross. Jesus shows this incident as the last thing before He goes to the cross, demonstrating the love of the cross and the lives of the heavenly people who have been born again. Through this woman, Jesus reveals the love that led Him to the cross and the hope we have in Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who truly deserves all our love. However, due to our sinful nature, we often struggle to give Him the complete devotion that He deserves. We may feel that giving everything to Jesus is foolish, and so we end up allowing other people or things to take away the love that we should be directing towards Him. This can leave us feeling miserable and heartbroken, but we can take comfort in knowing that Jesus lovingly accepts even our imperfect love. He sees us as devoted followers even when we fall short. It is important that we strive to love Jesus with all our hearts, even on our weaknesses. By following His will, we can also show love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, just as Jesus loves us all. Let us all pray for the strength and grace to love Jesus more fully each day. At present, we can only testify to the reality of Jesus' love through faith. However, when we reach the kingdom of heaven, we will experience His love firsthand and love Him with all our heart, mind, and sincerity. By doing so, we will also be able to love our brothers and sisters completely. I hope that you will continue to grow in the love of Christ and enjoy it more each day. The heavenly life we have is precious because it allows us to know and love Jesus. Let us ask God to help us grow in this new life. I pray that all of you saints of Theophilus will be willing to break yourselves and give yourselves to Jesus, loving Him alone until the day when we can see Him face to face and be in perfect fellowship with Him.